The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable we get today from Luke's Gospel is what many point to when they conjure up an image of hell. Our images and even understandings of hell, though, are more cultural than they are theological. What we see played out in this parable is the predicament that the rich man has now found himself in, not a place where God has sent him. The rich man has placed himself there. Abraham still refers to the rich man as child. Compassion is being displayed, but there is a chasm. Chasm not fixed by God, but by the rich man. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis believing that hell is locked from the inside. The rich man is in this predicament, but still has not been changed or transformed at all. He still expects this new predicament that he finds himself in to operate where his life operated. He still sees himself above Lazarus. He's learned nothing. He thinks Lazarus should be fetched to serve him. He's learned nothing. There's no repentance, even in this experience of torment. Theologian and pastor Tom Long talks about the theology of the gospel being a theology that it's never too late. And that when God opens a window of blessing, a kingdom window, we all have an opportunity to be part of what God is doing in the world. But those windows will close throughout our lives. Open windows, and then they close. He tells a story that he read in a book of a man being in a nursing home. And most times we see people in nursing homes over time will lose their memory. But this particular man was plagued by his inability to lose his memory. His name was Art. His wife of 60 years He kept remembering throughout their marriage how horrible he treated her. He was tormented by this. She would even say to him, "Please tell me you love me." And he would not do so. He would say, I show it. I don't need to say it. And then when he found her in a coma, he couldn't say it enough. But she could not say anything back to him. He doesn't know if he forgave her. The window closed. Tom Long himself shared a story where he decided as a young father to get on an airplane to give a speech to people who no longer remember him or what he said, instead of going to the father-daughter campfire girl banquet that his daughter was begging him to go to. And now that he's older and wiser, Tom Long says he's now ready to go to the father-daughter campfire banquet. But his daughter isn't a little girl anymore. She doesn't need her father in that way that she did back then. He missed it. What windows have you missed? I know I have missed my fair share. Now, Long said that in Jesus' day as a kid, he probably heard sermons along these lines. The old rabbis would preach on these windows of blessing that God would open up and would close if you didn't act. Their favorite sermon illustration would have been Eliezer of Damascus stories, an obscure biblical character mentioned only once in the Bible, Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. Eliezer of Damascus was Abraham's right-hand man, and the rabbis made up stories about him, that when God wanted to bless the earth, he would ask Abraham to send Eliezer of Damascus as a blessing. But Eliezer would always come incognito. You had to be on the lookout. He could be the stranger sitting next to you in the airplane. He could be someone that you cross paths with at the coffee shop, right? Always incognito. You had to be on alert. And if you translate Eliezer from Hebrew to Greek, you know what you get? Lazarus. So what we have in this parable is the blessing of God designed as a beggar. And the rich man missed his window of blessing. Now, we recently heard Jesus tell a parable where at the conclusion, he says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. And while none of us are billionaires or oligarchs of the world, we're still financially better off when compared to the world's population. And wealth can be just about more than money. We could also think about other types of wealth. Our accomplishments, our status, both individually and as a family, our reputation, our time. And this becomes the rubric to how we define our worth and the worth of others. When we consider financial, social, physical, mental, a balance of all those things is necessary, which is why we tend to associate all that with our overall wellness, right? We call it wellness. But when any or all those things become an idol, it puts us in a predicament because we put them above our God and we can only serve one master. What these parables are getting at is our heart. The rich and the poor dichotomy help us grasp the concept, but it could also get us off the hook. Because as Americans, we could be listening to this and be like, well, we're all middle class, right? No matter who you are, everybody thinks we're middle class. I'm not rich, I'm not poor, this isn't about me. But it's about you, and it's about me. God wants to bless us, and part of that blessing is responding to that invitation to love and serve both God and neighbor. But if our heart is focused elsewhere, then we're going to miss all those windows of God's blessing that are only open for a short time. Do we love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves? Or do we neglect our neighbors that are at our gate, so to speak? Timothy Hoyler writes, "We look at the worth of our lives by looking at the things we see and do. We do not look at our hearts. What do our hearts love? What motivates our hearts? Why do our hearts judge Why are our hearts inclined towards prejudice? What master do we serve, God or wealth? What do we take pride in? And why are we compelled to have things to take pride in? We are pushed, shoved, and told we have to fill our trophy case with what we have. It's a constant demand, but we never question why we feel the need to do it. The demands we ascribe to become a burden and an accusation for those who have little. The chasm is fixed by the rich man. The chasm is fixed by you and me. We separate ourselves from God when we put other things before God. All those other false gods we put above God might give us some short-term benefits, might give us new life and salvation for a moment, but not forever. And as we heard in the parable, that with that chasm, no one can cross it, Abraham says. No one can cross it. But we know the good news. There is one who crosses it, and it's Jesus. It is Jesus that has closed that chasm, destroyed that chasm, to bring us back into full communion and reconciliation with our God. That's the good news that we cling to. We might not always value God in our lives, but God values you. When Jesus took on our flesh, he entered a world that ignored and neglected their neighbor at the expense of whatever captivated their hearts. And Jesus ministering to the people suffering outside the gates of society would ultimately throw him as an outcast himself. In Christ, we have love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. We have God in Christ Jesus that continues to search for us even when we ignore those windows of God's blessing. It is through the cross that that chasm that we created is closed. And when we repent, when we turn to the Lord, we see that we are God's prize, that we are what God desires. We are in awe then of God's amazing grace and love. When we gather to hear that that chasm has been removed through the forgiveness of our sins, through the promise that we hear in the gospel spoken, shared, and proclaimed, and when Christ comes to us in that holy meal of Holy Communion, we are filled with such love and joy. We're going to go out into this world and value all those people that God values. And I'll make it easy for you. It's everyone. We go out and we value all those people that God values. And transformed by God's amazing grace through the cross, that chasm that has been removed should now make us ever more aware of God's windows of blessings, more attentive to the neighbors at the gates of our society that we are called to welcome and love. Beloved children of God, we are open to God's blessings. We get to be God's blessing. And we get to trust God's blessing that will never expire in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.